So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview.
To help you keep on top of developments regarding the health emergency, Wisconsin and I is interviewing those on the front lines of dealing with this emergency. State Revenue Secretary Peter Barca is in charge of an agency that brings in the money that state government spends on schools and healthcare and dozens of other programs. So I want to thank Revenue Secretary Peter Barca for taking the time to talk to us. Thank you, Peter.
Well, Steve, great to be back on your show again. And I get to see a little feature of your living room there on top of it. So
yes, indeed.
We're all learning to do things a little bit differently and see different views than we normally do. It's unusual times, but somehow I think we're all getting by pretty well.
Yeah. We're very blessed. Peter, tax collections, GPR tax collections, July 1 through the end of February. Let me check the number from your own website. We're up 6.4%. Very healthy. Then COVID, the emergency, safer at home. Sir, have you seen any estimates, early estimates of March collections of income? Personal income, corporate income, or sales?
No, we probably should have done this a week or two from now. We'll have a sense. At this point, we're not sure. Obviously, we know there's going to be a precipitous drop. So we'll see where it comes in. I'm happy to come back online with you at that time. I think the good news is that at least going into this, Wisconsin was in a very healthy position.
Yes.
Our economy was strong. GDP growth was going well in Wisconsin. Unemployment was at an all-time lows, and tax collections were extremely healthy. I mean, we kept re-estimating and moving it upward, and we kept exceeding it. So at least we entered into it in a strong position. Obviously, it's tough to predict where we're going to be 6 months from now because it's so health-dependent. I meet with my economists regularly. We got some of the best economists in the state. No question, the top macroeconomic economists that look at trends. And so much of it is dependent on this health emergency. If it ends sometime in May, that's a plus. We can probably start to move our way backwards. If it goes on to June or, God forbid, July, totally different picture we're going to be under.
Well, as I look through July 1 through the end of February numbers, Peter, are you the softening in the tax collections, would they be most likely to occur in sales collections, sir?
Well, no question, sales will be significantly off because, as we know, many retail establishments are closed. If you're selling clothing or jewelry or traditional things people like to spend their weekends going shopping for, that's shut down. Now, if you're buying food or I had to go to a local hardware store because we had some water and I had to rent a pump last weekend, and his sales are doubled, so they're off the chart. But overall, obviously, restaurant sales are generally significantly down, so that'll be a difficulty. But also income tax collections. With such a high percentage of the people laid off, that's going to take its long-term toll. We obviously don't see that quite as quickly, but that'll be an issue.
July through February, corporate taxes up 74%. Now, this is a result of the Federal Tax Reform Act. And the Fiscal Bureau paper that you and I saw pointed to a three-year tremendous increase. Do you think some people say we're in a recession. I don't know how you feel about that. Do you think that we will no longer see that very significant increase in corporate taxes, Mr. Secretary?
Well, there has to be somewhat of a drop-off, obviously. It was unprecedented. The incredible jumps that we had in corporate taxes, we felt, and I'm on the board of directors for the Federal Tax Administrators now, so I get a preview, and they brought in a number of people from the big, five accounting firms to talk about it. And it was somewhat because of repatriation of funds. It was somewhat because of the fact that obviously some of them being flush with cash, started new product lines, and There were a number of factors that went into that, but there's no question that we're no longer going to see that type of increases, and we just hope it doesn't decrease too precipitously.
I want to draw on your institutional memory, Peter. You were in Assembly Democratic leadership for the last great recession, you know, 08, 09, in 2010. If you'll recall, 1 year we saw a precipitous drop in individual income taxes of 13%, almost $1 billion. So drawing on your memories of then, what advice would you give the governor and lawmakers in terms of we're faced with another pronounced deep recession?
Well, obviously, you know, we're hoping that this COVID, you know, emergency will not go on too long, but we have to watch that very, very carefully. The one thing I talk a great deal about both with the governor and with our cabinet and legislators as well, is that let's keep our eye and try to help support small businesses, because they're going to need a cushion here over the course of, you know, the next few months and even a couple months following the end of the emergency, because they cannot get back up and running immediately. And even once revenue starts coming into these small businesses again, they're going to owe past mortgage or rent payments and all kinds of other expenses that are fixed costs. Running a business myself, I know how when you have a drop-off, and I owned a business during the last recession, and it was very much a challenge. So we need to pay close attention, help them to the fullest degree that we can, because as we all know, small business is generally the engine of the economy. That's where most of the new job growth comes from. When I worked at the Small Business Administration, two-thirds of the new jobs during that era, and it still is basically the case, came from small business. And so we have to, that's the one significant thing that we're paying close attention to. As you know, in our department, we've waived any type of penalties, fees for small businesses. We're hoping the legislature will also waive interest when they come back next week. Right. I think that's very important, because essentially, you're giving small businesses a no-interest loan to cushion them during this very difficult period.
Okay. Well, thanks to you and your office. Let's work through a graphic kind of summarizing the actions on dealing with the health emergency. So the citing that graphic, the Department of Revenue automatically extended income tax payments and filings until July 15. Now, that's a big deal, Peter, because otherwise, next week was the deadline. So, do you want to talk about that a little bit? Won't that worsen the cash flow?
Well, it does hurt the cash flow, no question about it. At this juncture, we can absorb it because we do have a surplus as we're sitting here now. But obviously, we're hoping that July 15th, people are compliant and they do file on time at that point. Because at that juncture, we're going to desperately need that. Now, the IRS really was the one that took the lead, and we followed that lead. It could have been, you know, if it would have been June 15th, would have been better for us as a state in terms of revenue collections, but worse for individuals and businesses. And I think they made the appropriate decision point, even if it does adversely affect our cash flow, because people are going to need that additional time to file. Now, the irony is, we've already processed over 2 million of the 3 million filers that we have. But of course, most of them are people that were looking for a refund.
Right.
Our file towards the end are people that are still have a tax liability that is due.
What's
will be a cash flow issue.
Right.
But of course, it is based on last year's income. So presumably, you know, the overwhelming majority will be able to make their payments then on July 15th. And
so
that will help.
I just want to clarify, DOR has already processed about 2 million?
Yes, we processed over 2 million returns already, which is about two-thirds of what we expect to process.
Is the average refund, up or down?
It's up from last year, and part of that you would expect because of tax code changes and also the changes that, you know, Governor Evers worked positively with the legislature on to give tax relief to people. So the average refund is roughly about $740, which is up.
$720. Okay.
As expected.
Okay. Now, what about people like me? Yesterday I got a notice from my tax advisor. I've got to mail a check for a few hundred dollars to the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. I now have
you're
a choice.
You're losing your business, Steve.
I understand. And I won't make it out to Peter Barkow. I'll make it out to the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. But here's my question. I have a choice. I can meet the April 15 deadline or I can wait till July 15. Would you encourage people like me who have some liability to file by April 15 and not wait until July, sir?
Well, look, obviously, if you are in a position where you're still working and you can file at this point, you know, obviously you're doing a service to your state and we would appreciate that. If for any chance you think you may need that money, we care about you as one of the citizens of the state. We want Wisconsinites not to put themselves at risk. Now, the other thing I will point out though, Steve, and this is something as I go speak to various groups, whether it's taxpayer groups, business groups, or others, is I do always advise people not to wait to the last couple days. And the reason why is you got cyber thieves out there that are trying to steal your identity. And they focus on those deadlines when they think we won't notice. We spend millions of dollars each year to upgrade our software and to protect people. So the other option as well would be, Steve, to file now and then wait to mail in that check till a little bit closer to the deadline is the other option as well that I oftentimes will encourage people. So obviously, you've got to make a calculated decision for yourself. For those people that can't afford to file now and make their payment now, we appreciate that very much. But we certainly don't want to put anybody at risk.
Now let's go back to the graphic that I want to thank your agency for helping Wisconsin I to get ready. Okay, the DOR has enacted new rules to help small businesses. Let's walk through these one by one, Mr. Secretary. Small businesses can immediately request an extension to file sales and use tax returns due April 30th until June 1st. Can you elaborate on that? Why?
So the idea there is that for small businesses, let's say that are closed down currently, so they really just do not have any income, they still have obligations and those fixed costs yes. that we've talked about before, they can file for an extension and then wait to pay us later. Now, especially if the legislature and the governor were able to enact a provision to allow us the discretion to also waive interest, just like we've already decided with the discretion that I have as the Secretary of Revenue and working in conjunction with the governor who also supported this, which I'm thankful for, we're already waiving penalties. But essentially, it becomes a no-interest loan because you're able to hold on to that money you've already collected and then send it to the Department of Revenue 30 days later, which is a nice cushion for small businesses. So they okay. can make their mortgage or their rent payments or meet their other fixed expenses.
Right. And I think that's the second item here on this graphic, sir, or this slide. DOR will not assess late filing fees or penalties if March sales or use tax returns are filed by April 30th or upon DOR approval of an extension. That's kind of what you just said. So is DOR, right?
Yeah, they're inextricably related because you have to file for the extension by the dates that we've prescribed. So, you know, you have to do it by April 30th for this March payment. You have to do it by June 1st for your May payment in order for us to be able to waive any penalties and potentially interest. So those filing timelines still do apply. And, you know, we expect that, you know, many businesses probably won't file for the extension. If you're a grocery store or hardware store and you're doing more business than ever, then why bother? Just have your CPA or whoever handles that, your bookkeeper, make those payments. But if you're hurting and you need that, then my message is to make sure that you're filing for that extension. So those two items are inextricably related.
Okay, now let's return to another item, which, as you said, is still pending in the Capitol, but 12% interest will still accrue beginning on the April 30th due date if the legislature does not change the law to allow DOR to waive that. My question, Peter, as you are brought up to date on negotiations in the Capitol, do you understand that waiving that penalty is part of the package now being considered?
I think it's being highly considered. I would say that there's a good likelihood that they will go forward with this. I know in talking with legislative leaders, I think they can see the point. The governor certainly does. Of course, you know, being a former legislative leader myself, I know sometimes things get bogged down and what you expect to happen doesn't happen. So I don't want people to take that check to the bank yet, but I do want to say that I think there's a good likelihood. I know we've received letters from many business associations asking us to take this step, CPAs and others, and we've certainly put that on the table and communicated why we think that would be so important.
In the last budget, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, DOR got a number of additional auditors to try to pursue old tax liabilities. Given the healthcare emergency, are those attempts to collect past due delinquent penalties, are those ongoing or are those temporarily being postponed, sir?
Well, we are relaxing any collections right now. We know people are hurting. We're also relaxing auditing. But, you know, so for the most part, we've really dialed that backwards and we're doing more of the, planning kind of work. But the auditors that were given to us, and actually that was back a couple budgets ago, but they continued it this time. That was primarily to go after out-of-state companies that maybe, as I like to say, didn't know they had a liability or didn't think we would notice they had a liability. Yeah. And obviously we care about those companies too. We're relaxing that as well. But that's the purpose behind that. And we've had considerable success. I don't know if out-of-state companies just don't realize that when they have personnel in the state, they almost certainly have a liability. And that's eased the burden on Wisconsin businesses. Because when we can collect what's rightfully due to Wisconsin, from businesses that are outside the state who are competing with Wisconsin businesses, that lessens the burden on Wisconsin businesses. So we've been very successful. I put a focus on that. Our leaders in our department have also been very focused on this, and we're getting better at it, at identifying where those liabilities are, and we've got a fabulous nexus unit.
The governor has repeatedly said that he's asked his cabinet members to put forward recommendations for what should be in the COVID relief package. Other than waiving the 12% interest, has your agency asked for anything else to be a part of that package?
Yes, we've also talked about property tax liabilities. You know, with people being laid off, making that final installment, or some communities have four or five installments that they've put in place. We like to be able to have a process whereby that can be deferred. Now, that's still being negotiated in terms of whether or not we just give the authority to local governments to make those decisions or to set up their own process, or if it automatically gets deferred. And I know local leaders, I talked to one of the county executives today, that's very worried because they have to make up the difference for municipalities, and they're worried they will not have the funds to do that. So we're also bringing to the attention that we may need to have some sort of a short-term bridge funds available for those counties during that interim period, if in fact the legislature moves forward with that. So that's another issue. We, you know, there's other arenas where we've been able to delay, where we did have the authority to delay when certain reports are due to the Department of Revenue, but some of them are inextricably related to, you know, assessments and boards of reviews, and those we can't really waive. There's one more item that I did want to bring to your attention that was one of the first things we had to deal with, and I'm very pleased with the outcome. You know, we have the Alcohol, Tobacco, Gaming Enforcement Unit here that handles restaurants and pubs, taverns that sell food, and it was always a fact that if you were going to pick up a food order with alcohol, you had to go inside and wait in line because of, you know, wanting to exercise caution with alcohol and getting into the wrong hands. Well, we've relaxed that. We put out new guidance to ensure that they could do curbside pickup, that they could deliver it in the parking lot. And we were following the Division of Health and the governor's lead with his executive orders, knowing that if you had 15 people crowded in a place, that would not be healthy. So we're allowing, under our new guidance, for people to walk outside to carry that food and package beverages out to the cars and And I can tell you both as a consumer as well as a leader in government observing that, that's worked extremely well.
Well, since you brought up the issue of alcohol, do you support the Tavern League's, they want to be able to deliver alcohol? Do you have a position on that, sir?
Well, you know, that would be up to the legislature to do. We would certainly, if they are taking up, which I've not heard that being in the mix quite yet, that may be in a secondary package coming up. You know, that's one that I think there has to be a careful attention to. And I understand the need, that I clearly do, that I know taverns in particular feel like if they could deliver now, that they'd be able to sell, much more. And if their consumers are telling them they would like this. Historically, they've always opposed that because they always felt they'd be at a competitive disadvantage from grocers or liquor store owners. It's something, you know, we went from about 5% of our staff telecommuting to 90%.
90%.
Wow. You can imagine that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to get into that, but I think your viewers might find that very interesting.
Peter, I just want to address a couple other issues. I know you got a few other things to do today. You alluded to it earlier, excuse me, and your agency put out a press release on scams. So there are scammers now that are asking people for their personal information to try to intercept the $1,200 per adult?
Thank you very much for bringing this up, Steve, because I think there's little that is more important right now than for people to understand. If they're getting a call from anybody saying they're with the IRS or they're with the Department of Revenue, they unless they got a letter setting up an appointment, it is definitely a scam. And what's going on is we are seeing an uptick, and we've worked with the IRS through our FTA organization to coordinate to bring this information to people to understand you should never be giving out your credit card or your personal identification or checking account number to somebody identifying themselves as being from the IRS or the Department of Revenue. We would never ask for that over the phone.
Well, your press release says quite bluntly, if you're contacted by email, someone wants your personal identification or credit card number, delete it. If you're called, hang up. If you get a text, delete it, correct?
That's exactly right. And that's exactly what they should be doing.
Okay. I'm just curious, Peter, have you noticed in this emergency trend that people are less willing to handle dollar bills? Have you noticed that?
I have noticed that. Yeah,
well, very much more. In fact, you're the revenue secretary. You got a theory on that? Is that because they're really afraid that the virus is on the actual cash dollars? And is there any downside to that trend?
Well, as a matter of fact, unfortunately, our health experts have told us that the virus can sit on paper and cardboard and even other hard surfaces for an extended period of time. So it is a very real concern. In fact, we're hearing more from retailers who would like to encourage people to go to plastic, to ATMs, or credit cards. In fact, we had some retailers ask us, with the lottery, because that's been an ongoing topic in the legislature,
right,
of allowing people to use ATMs instead of cash. So it is a very real concern. And I know there's some retailers that are not handling paper right now.
Well, can you see any major disadvantage if we go to more of a cashless society and more to plastic, my friend?
I really don't see any disadvantage. And okay. Young people are way ahead of us. I know for my kids and my nieces and nephews, they rarely carry cash anymore. Of course, that means their uncle or their dad has to buy more too, though.
I understand. Hey, Peter, just for clarification, I know as the filing deadline gets close, and I know it's been pushed from April 15th to July 15th, some people go to DOR centers, and they even come to the office on Rimrock Road for help. What are the new rules on getting in-person help? Because I know they have been cut back dramatically.
Well, thank you for asking that, too. We only can meet with people by appointment at this juncture. Now, they can make an appointment. They can call up, and it's on our website. It's on the door at Rimrock and in Milwaukee. And we've instituted a new intensive customer service procedure where for people who want to come in for an appointment, we offer to them to give them much more intensive help to try and work through their issues over the phone. And that's working in about half the cases. Now, people do need to come in. The governor was very strong about trying to make sure that we still kept state operations open. And I couldn't agree with him more. I think it was a good decision on his part. So we will meet with people by appointment over at Rimrock Road, the revenue building, or in Milwaukee at the state office building by appointment. On lottery validations, if somebody wins a lottery ticket, we strongly encourage them to mail it in. It works very well. We've virtually never had a problem with that type of operation. Every time we'd be able to trace it backwards when there was one. But if they insist to come in, similar process, they can call and make an appointment.
Okay. And you think we should touch base in 2 or 3 weeks when you've got the March GPR numbers, my friend?
Well, people probably will be very interested in that, I'm sure.
I bet they will. Peter Barkas, Secretary of the State Department of Revenue, thanks for your time. And I'll be sending in the check to for what I owe in liability by April 15th. I'm going to help DOR, sir.
Well, I'm going to tell our staff we can be thankful to Walter's family. So thank you very much for that.
Secretary Barkas, thanks for your time, sir.
Take care of you as well.
Thank you.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.